Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q2 FY25 results conference call of Dolat Industries, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Panjwani from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today Mr. Ankit Gupta, President, Marketing, Mr. Gaurav Gupta, Vice President, Strategy, and Mr. Ajay Patodi.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q2 FY25 results conference call of Dolat Industries, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Panjwani from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
We are Chief Financial Officer. I would now hand over the call to management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vishal. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us today for the Dolat Industries Q2 FY25 earnings investor call. Gaurav and I will take you through the business and operational highlights of the quarter gone by, while our CFO, Mr. Ajay Patodi, will share the financial metrics. Before we dive into the financial results and operational highlights for Q2 and the first half of FY25, I want to express our gratitude to our shareholders, analysts, and stakeholders for being with us today. Your ongoing support and engagement are invaluable as we navigate the opportunities and challenges in our industry. Quarterly total income stood at 448 crores rupees, increasing by 34% quarter-on-quarter and 8.5% year-on-year. For the half yearly, total income stood at 782 crores, showing a growth of 5.5% year-on-year basis. Net profit for the quarter grew by 73.2% quarter-on-quarter and 6.6% year-on-year to 27 crores rupees. For the half year, net profit stood at 42 crores, registering a growth of 6.1% year-on-year. I would also like to highlight that historically, our H2 performance has been stronger than H1, hence, we are on track to meet our guidance of 12%-13% growth in operating income. With our continued focus on Project Lakshya, we welcomed 17 new distributors to the initiative in H1 FY25, increasing our total distributor count to 307 from 290 in March 2024. We are pleased to share that Project Lakshya share of domestic sales rose from 26% in FY24 to 31% in H1 FY25. Looking forward, by FY26, 65%-70% of our revenue is expected to be contributed by distributors under Project Lakshya. To further enhance our reach and product range, we are excited to announce that in FY24-25, we'll be expanding Project Lakshya into three new states: Madhya Pradesh, Himachal Pradesh, and Jharkhand. Thank you. Now, Gaurav will give further information on the business and operational highlights of the quarter gone by.
Thank you, Ankit. Hello, and good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to each one of you. For quarter two FY25, Dolat Thermal accounted for about 10% of our revenue. With the forecast predicting a longer winter season this year, we are also seeing strong demand for thermal products in the current quarter. Force NXT accounted for about 5% of our revenue in quarter two FY25, showing a 30% growth in the value and a 38% increase in volume terms YOY. As of H1 FY25, the southern region has contributed to 8% of our operating income, To enhance our presence in the southern Indian market, we have appointed actor Mahesh Babu as a brand ambassador for Dollar Big Boss. Also, our initiatives to drive growth in the e-commerce channel have started showing results. In quarter 2 FY25, sales from modern trade and e-commerce made up approximately 7.5% of our total sales, up from 3.6% in quarter 2 FY24 and 6.5% in quarter 1 FY25, bringing the contribution to around 8% in H1 FY25. Our target is to achieve the contribution from this channel in the range of 8 to 10% till FY26. Committed to a greener future, we continue to expand our renewable energy capacity. As of September 2024, our total power generation capacity reached 8 megawatts, marking an increase of 2 megawatts in the first half of financial year 24-25. This progress highlights our dedication to sustainability and reducing our carbon footprint. Thank you, everyone. And now I will hand over the call to our CFO, sir, Mr. Ajay Patodia, to talk about the financial matrices.
Thank you, Gauravji. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Quarter 2 and H1 FY25 earning call. Before we begin the question and answer session, I would like to offer a brief overview of our financial performance for the quarter. I trust everyone has had the chance to review the earning presentation and press release. While Ankit ji has already shared insight on the macro outlook, I will take a closer look at our financial performance over the first quarter. Our revenue from operation rose by 33.9% quarter-on-quarter basis and 8.3% year-on-year basis to rupees 446.87 crore. In quarter 2 FY25 from rupees 412.52 crore. In quarter 2 FY24. For H1 FY25, revenue from operation stood at 780.61 crore, increasing 5.4% year-on-year basis. Consequently, we are on the course to achieve our growth target of 12 to 13% in operating income, as mentioned by Ankit ji. Gross profit for quarter 2 FY25 reaches rupees 149.67 crore, witnessing a quarter-on-quarter growth of 25.9% and year-on-year growth of 11.3%. Gross profit margin for quarter 2 FY25 stood at around 33.5% against 32.6% in quarter 2 FY24, expanding by 90 basis points year-on-year basis. Gross profit for half-yearly ended 30 September 24 was rupees 268.54 crores, witnessing a year-on-year growth of 11.6%. Gross profit margin for H1 FY25 stood at around 34.4%. against 32.5% in H1 FY24, expanding by 192 basis points year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA in quarter 2 FY25 increased by 37.4% quarter-on-quarter and 17.2% year-on-year, reaching rupees 48.93 crores. Operating EBITDA margin for the quarter expanded by 83 basis points year-on-year basis to 10.9%. Operating EBITDA for the half year stood at rupees 84.53 crore, increasing by 22.8% year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA margin for the same period expanded by 153 basis points year-on-year to 10.8%. Profit after tax for the quarter witnessed a 73.2% quarter-on-quarter basis and 6.6% year-on-year growth, reaching 26.51 crore. With the PAT margin at 5.9% for the half year, profit after tax stood at 41.82 crores, growing at 6.1% year-on-year basis. I will quickly run through the brand-wise contribution for the quarter. Our Big Boss meat segment contribute around 38%. Our economic segment Lair contribute around 39%. Our women segment Missy contribute around 9%. Our premium segment, Force NXT, contribute around 4.35%. High EBITDA margin product, winter wear, current contribute, thermal wear, contribute around 6%. And socks, dollar socks, around 2%. We remain deeply committed to our strategic priorities and growth pillars as we work towards our long-term goal of sustainable growth and profitability. We are confident that our focus on premiumization, the ongoing success of Project Laksh, and our expanding presence in the South Indian market will drive strong performance in the coming quarters. We are well positioned to achieve solid revenue and profit growth both this financial year and in the future. With this, we will now open the floor for the question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vijay Shah from Insightful Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the improved performance. I had just two questions. One is, I'm seeing that there is some increase in our capital work in progress in terms of CapEx that we are doing. So if you could just explain what is the CapEx which has happened in FY24? And what is this capital work in progress for now?
Hello, Vijay ji. Good afternoon. With regard to CapEx, we want to inform that we have two projects in our CapEx we announced in FY21-22. That is one regarding the warehousing project at West Mangal Hojari Park, and one our increase in the capacity of our spinning unit from 22,000 to 40,000. So in FY24, we completed warehousing project at West Mangal and 50% of the spinning capacity. So in FY24, 50% of spinning capacity and the West Mangal housing, West Mangal Hojari Park project is capitalized. Balance 50% of the spinning capacity is completed in this 6 months. So this is capitalized during the year. And now there is no any CapEx pending.
So this capital work in progress as on 30th September is now finished, you are saying?
Yes, they are related to only minor regular matter only.
Got it. And the second question was, sir, with regard to this whole move to Project Lakshya, getting 30% of our turnover coming from there, plus modern trade and our e-commerce sales having gone up. All this, should it not show somewhere in our inventory levels in terms of that coming down?
So, there are 17 new distributors who have come into the picture, and it takes time for the distributors also to get stabilized. And with e-commerce also coming into the picture, there apart from what happens is although you get the money early in e-commerce, but there are a lot of goods which are sold on the sales or return basis also. When you do additional place of business with Flipkart or Amazon or Myntra, so the thing is that it won't show up in your debtors, but yeah, it will show in your inventory cycle. So overall, yes, you are right, the overall receivable days should have come down, but it will come down eventually.
Yeah, actually my question, receivable was a little later, but first on inventory. Actually, inventory has gone up in from March from 467 crores to 533 crores in September.
So it's cyclical, Vijayji, it's cyclical because during this period, we stock up the thermal goods also, which is higher ASP products and higher cost products as well. Which will get sold off in quarter three. So second half is usually heavy for our industry. It's to the tune of 55-60% to our total sales, which happens during the first half. So overall target that we have taken, 60% of the sales takes place in the second half of the year. So that's why you have to build up inventory in order to cater to the market needs.
Got it. Fair enough. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is with regards to, you know, this the Bangladesh issue. Would this in any way, you know, help the overall hosiery industry in India, given that, you know, earlier there was a lot of inventory that was getting sold into the system and there was huge competition in terms of pricing. So any color that you can give on this aspect?
So this Bangladesh issue will impact the textile industry, but it won't impact the hosiery industry because not much manufacturing takes place in Bangladesh of hosiery products. And the products that we deal in, it won't have any impact basis the Bangladesh issue.
Okay, okay. And sir, how about the competitive intensity now? How do you see this? You know, has this competitive intensity remained high, low, or how is the demand patterns? If you can highlight something there on that thing.
So from the competition side, see, there'll always be pressure from the competition side. Everyone is aggressive. Everyone wants to capture more and more shelf space in the market and increase their market share. And even we are doing the same, right? So the intensity of competition is really high in the market because we are five players at a similar level. If we keep Page aside also, there are three players in the listed space and two in the unlisted space. So the competition is very aggressive in the market. But yeah, we have changed our entire go-to-market strategy and dealing with the situation and trying to capture much more retail space as possible.
Okay, okay. If you can highlight, you know, has this come down or gone up? Because what we are hearing from the market is that the competition has now become more saner and the level of discounting has come down. So just wanted to get a sense on that one.
So on that front, it is getting stabilized. So the extra discounting that was going in the market from the other players, it has come down. And it's a process, so maybe another one or two quarter, it should get stabilized.
Okay.
But that intensity has reduced over time, yes.
Okay, okay. And so just wanted to get a sense from you, you know, on terms of profitability growth. You know, while the top line growth has been, you know, decent, I think the profitability growth on a YY basis has been impacted. So on an annualized basis, how do you see this shaping up? And if you can, you know, help us out the trajectory for the next 2 to 3 years.
So basically, this year at an EBITDA level, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to do somewhere around 11.5% this particular fiscal. Next fiscal, where we are targeting 2,000 crores of revenue, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to achieve somewhere between 13% to 14% of EBITDA level. And going ahead, I think in long term, if you ask me, when everything gets stabilized, 14% to 15% for our kind of an industry is very much sustainable EBITDA levels.
So this margin improvement that you're talking about for the next year, what will be the key levers for this margin improvement?
So one would be the operating leverage that we that will be created after reaching 2,000 crores of business. Then the second would be the change in the product mix as well, because this year also we are seeing 3% to 4% kind of a change in the ASP towards the positive side because of the product mix change. It's because of Force NXT growing at a rate of 35% year-on-year basis. Our athleisure segment is doing well. Then thermals, we are very hopeful for the winter season also this time and getting a good demand from the market. So all these product ranges, which is high value products and good margin products, they'll definitely help us achieve our targets.
Sure, sir. Thank you, and that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Shrinjana Mittal from Ratnatraya. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. So one is in the gross margin side. So if I look at the gross margin after subcontracting, it's come down compared to last quarter from about 35.6% to now 33.5%. So can you explain that change, please? Like what has led to that? Is it mix impact or is it like a price, raw material price impact?
Basically, the gross margin impact due to sometime we offer incentive also. So on thermal product, we offer incentive to dealer. Due to this, that the incentive portion is actually deducted from the top line only. So it is reflected in the gross margin. There is no, with regard to raw material prices, they are stable.
Understood. So that, so this will come every time in the Q2 and Q3 because that's when we see the thermal sales.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. And the second question is, like last quarter we had mentioned that because we were implementing SAP HANA, we had lost some sales because of that. So in, like, is the implementation done? Is there any impact in this quarter as well?
So no, there is no such impact because of our technological advancement, and the implementation of SAP is completed and has been stabilized.
Understood. Just one last follow-up question. On like on as per your guidance, like to do 12-13% growth, the second half has to do a lot better, like a more than 15% growth, right? So
definitely. So generally, what happens is if we have a good winter, the third quarter is always good, and the fourth quarter itself is very, very heavy for our industry. So we are very hopeful that we'll be able to achieve 12-13% very, very easily.
And also this time Eid is on the 30th March itself. So Eid sales is also coming fourth quarter only. So we are hopeful that our target of 12-13% we can achieve easily.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, wanted to understand the Lakshya project progress, the addition of distributors in the first half, in our opinion, is quite low than what we envisaged earlier. So could you just help us understand what is happening there? Though we are meeting the revenue, you know, composition targets, but network addition is somewhere amiss is what I feel. So please help us understand that.
Yes, yes, Prerna. So you rightly pointed out that the addition has been on a lower side, but this is because of the fact that our all the ongoing states that were that we have started in FY24, it's almost completed or at a completion stage. So these additions are there only. With respect to the new states, the mapping process is still going on. So it really takes time to map the area and appoint a distributor. Although we have appointed 2 to 3 distributors in new areas as well. But yeah, that's why first half was a bit slow, and it should pick up in the second half.
So how much distributors will we be adding in the second half? Any number that has come up till date?
No, as of now the mapping is still in progress, so we are unable to give you the exact numbers because with new states, as you already know that there's a lot of problem with the new states. People are skeptical. We have to create success stories in those states, and then we have to hunt for the new distributors and everything, right? So it will take some time, but I am unable to comment on the exact number of distributors that we'll be appointing in the second half.
Okay, understood. Sir, also wanted to understand on this 30% contribution that is coming in from Lakshya Network. Now this contribution is increasing, so which means our existing network is the growth lower there, or how should we interpret it?
See, the Lakshya project, the growth is higher than the non-Lakshya areas. But it's not that the non-Lakshya areas are also at a degrowth level. because this year particularly, what we are seeing is that overall, Lakshya states are growing, but the matured states, which have been there for like 2 years, 3 years time period, they won't be growing at 35-40% kind of a growth. They'll grow at 15%, 17% kind of a growth. So, our non-Lakshya states are also growing. It's not that they are degrowing, but overall, at a company level, yeah, we are standing at 5%. I understand.
Okay, understood. And the next question is on the volume growth. What was the volume growth overall for the quarter? And if you could just help us in the volume growth for each of the brands.
So volume growth overall was 2% for this particular quarter. But at the year end, what we are looking forward to is 9-10% kind of a volume growth overall, and rest would be around 3% would be the product mix change that we are looking forward to. And volume growth brand wise, if you ask me, for quarter two, Big Boss grew by 5%, whereas the value growth was 11% in Big Boss. Economy range of product grew by 2%. Thermal grew by 4%. Missy grew by 4%. Force NXT grew by 38%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these are all volume growths, no, that you have given?
Yeah. Volume growth.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back to the question queue for any further questions.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Countercyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand your average sale price per piece.
Hello?
Sir, your average sales price or realization per piece, which was 71.11 in FY22, was 69 rupees in FY23. And sir, what is it now?
It is around 70 rupees right now.
I understand last year it was 68 rupees, sir, so we have taken some kind
Mr.
of price.
Mr. Madhur, may I request you to speak a little louder or use your handset to ask the question? Your voice sounds a bit muffled.
Sir, so last year, what kind of price hikes have we taken on a year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis?
So we have not taken any kind of a price hike in the last year as well as this year. This year, the industry tried to take a price hike in the first quarter, but due to some players, we had to reverse it.
Sir, so when last did you take a price hike?
So the price hike last we took was FY22.
Okay, so basically then due to your product mix change, the average sale price has gone up year on year?
Yes, so the value change that you are seeing in the ASP is basically due to the product mix change, which is majorly contributed by Force NXT, which is growing by 35-40% year on year basis for the last 2-3 years.
Right. And sir, now if we look at, sir, the company was doing 13% margin way back in 2018 also. So now after doing so much products, Lakshya and all, sir, still if we are going to reach 13% next year, sir, so then what is the meaning of all this so-called transformation?
Sir, the thing is that if you compare it with FY18, a lot of dynamics have changed in the industry. A lot of things has happened in the industry, whether it be cotton prices moving up or cotton prices going down, high value inventory in the system or low value inventory in the system. So if you look at FY22, we touched 16% kind of EBITDA level, which gone down to 5%, 6% kind of an EBITDA level in FY23. And FY24, so the industry, in FY24, the industry was still recovering, and then again some dynamics changed in the industry due to which there was a lot of pressure in the pricing also, the competition getting intensified. But yeah, we are very sure that we'll be able to achieve the long-term sustainable profit, which would be somewhere between 14% to 15%.
Sir, and by when do you foresee us reaching that level of 14% to 15% EBITDA margin?
In next like 3 years time period.
And sir, what are our capex plans, and with the current capacity, what kind of revenue can we reach provided demand is there?
So our industry is more based on job work basis of production, contract basis production, wherein the each and every processes are being outsourced to a job worker. So we don't really need to do any kind of a capex to increase our production capacity. It can be increased by adding more and more job workers which are readily available in the market. So we don't think that much more capex is required in the next 2 to 3 years time period.
And sir, our inventory is very high and our receivable is also almost 110-120 days. So any plans to reduce that?
So by FY26, we are planning to reduce it to around 135 days, somewhere around 135 days by FY26. It will be majorly because of the debtor days that we will going to reduce. Inventory days, as on September, you are seeing it on a higher side because of the thermal stocks that we have, the winter wear product.
Right. And sir, how much money are we spending on advertisement and sale promotion? Have we reached the 6.5% of revenue that we you had predicted in last two con calls?
Yeah, so this year till half yearly, on a half yearly basis, we have spent around 31 crores, which is equal to the amount that we spent last year only. Sorry, 56 crores, which was around 58 crores in last year 6 months. So overall, we'll be spending somewhere around 100 crores only this year.
Right, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vishal Panjwani from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Ankit. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for the good set of numbers. We are already past 6 weeks into the Q3. So can you give some color on the demand trends, and especially how is athleisure doing in current year? With the leader also launching sub-1000 price point products, like how are we seeing competition in that sense?
The demand is good. In the third quarter also we are seeing good demand because of most of the festive season going into the third quarter, and plus winter wear products also have started moving from the distributor to the retailers also. In North India we have seen some shift in the season, like morning and evening temperatures are down. And we are seeing good demand. And the second part, you were saying, like, which competition came out with what kind of a range? Sorry, I didn't get that.
So Page has launched a 1000 products in athleisure wear. So, like, are you seeing any competition in that sense, in those range?
So Page is never our competitor. So he operates in a very different market segment, and the price points also are very different from what we sell. So the entire market, the consumer segment is very different. So it doesn't really matter like whether Page is launching below 1000 product or not, because still it's higher when it's compared to our kind of company. But overall, athleisure product, we are seeing good traction in the market. It's just that a lot of unorganized players are present in the market. But yeah, people are opting for good product, good quality products at a reasonable pricing, That's what we provide them.
Okay. And we have now started entering into quick commerce space with this Zepto and Swiggy Instamart. Are we planning to onboard more players in that sense? And like, how are the unit economics in this?
See, the unit economics are pretty much similar to what we have in the other e-commerce platforms. It's not very different. And moreover, we have started with Swiggy and Zepto. Also, the products have started getting dispatched from our warehouse to Zepto also. And very soon, we'll start off with Myntra Speed and Flipkart Minute, which are the quick commerce part of Myntra and Flipkart. Apart from that, we'll be reaching out to BigBasket and Blinkit as well. So we are planning to be present at all the platforms that serves quick commerce.
Okay, okay. And like, how has been traction in the women? Like, what kind of marketing initiatives we are taking? Like, how is the marketing skewed across categories? Can you specify?
So this year also, like any other year, we are spending around 45% on TV commercials. Around 20% of our total budget goes to the digital marketing, and rest goes for the outdoor hoardings, retail branding, retail like point of sale visibility. So that's where we spend. So this 100 crore that we'll be spending this particular fiscal, around 40-45 would be spent on the TV commercials, and rest would be through the hoardings and the retail.
Ankit, my question is more with regards to understanding, like, how much is spent on Missy or men's innerwear or athleisure in that sense, like.
So that rationalization we do every year. We take a call. Like earlier, 4 years back, if you would have asked me, it would be 80-85% would be Big Boss. But now we have reduced Big Boss to a sustainable level where nothing more is required in terms of advertisement. And we have rationalized that into Force, NXT and Missy. So in Missy, around 15 to 17% of our budget goes to Missy. Around 12% budget goes for Force NXT, and this is how we have rationalized among the different brands.
Okay, okay. Thanks, thanks. That's it from my side. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, you wanted to understand the Force NXT improvement that is visible now. Is it the innerwear or the athleisure, or and what is helping the growth in this brand?
So can I take this?
Yeah.
Hi. In Force NXT, all the categories are doing pretty good. There's growth in every category. There's no degrowth in any, the existing categories. But at the same time, we have also launched something called sportswear. That's the activewear category and the socks. And that is why you are seeing the, higher increase in the terms of volume and value in this particular brand. So we are trying to expand the categories in the premium segment as well.
Okay. Can you help us with the mix, like how innerwear is doing in Force Next and how activewear is doing?
So activewear is, we have just launched activewear. It's just okay. Not even, probably just been a year that we have completed, or about, say, 9 months, 10 months. So even if I tell you the mix, it not be probably justified to you because socks got launched this year and activewear got launched like 8 months back.
Okay. Okay. So these two will be the growth drivers.
Yes, we are hopeful for we are hopeful for these two categories to be the growth drivers for the coming years as well.
Okay.
And especially after launching the more higher priced MRP products, going into more of MMA fabrics, there's a lot of traction in the market. So that category is doing especially very well.
Okay, understood. Okay, and how has been the performance of rainwear this first half and in this quarter?
So in the first half, it was just the first quarter when the rain guard was sold. So in a half yearly basis, we sold around 16 crore. We had 16 crore of business coming in from RainGuard. Q2 is majorly muted for RainGuard because there's no sales which happens from the company side. The primary sales happens in the Q4 and Q1 only.
Okay. So as a category, how it was in Q4 and Q1, if whether it was in line with our expectations?
Definitely. We saw growth of like it was 100% growth for us. And we did a good business like this particular season, Q4 of FY24 and Q1 of FY25. In totality, we did a business of somewhere around 35 to 37 crore of business.
Okay, fantastic. And are we present across regions in RainGuard or?
Yes. We are present pan India basis.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Srinath Sridhar from Infinite Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. My question is Q3 and Q4, based on your target of 1750 for the whole year, we still have about 980 crores of revenue yet to achieve. So can you give us a breakup of what our numbers might look like in Q3 and Q4 of this year?
So Q3 we are targeting that we should close somewhere around 370 to 400 crores, and in Q4 the balance would be Q4.
So that's a 400 and almost we'll have to achieve 580 crores in Q4, right? Then
last year was the first time when we crossed 500 in any of the quarter. It was the first time for the company. So yeah, we are very hopeful for the Q4.
So almost 580 crores in Q4.
Somewhere around that. But it really depends upon the season how it pans out.
Right. So demand for this quarter looks good for you. I wanted to ask, why is it seasonally a weak quarter, Q3?
Because most of the focus, like all the mom and pop stores starts focusing on the thermal wear products, like whether it be jackets or hoodies or sweatshirts or thermal wear which we make. So all the retailers focuses on more on the thermal wear rather than inner wear. Okay. And the thermal wear also, it really depends upon the season, because last 2 years, the winters have shifted to January instead of coming in November. So mm-hmm. The winter was late for the last 2 years. We are seeing that. But this year, due to the extended monsoon, we are very hopeful that the onset of the winter season would be early or at a faster. Yeah.
My next question is, the numbers, even though your top line has been growing in both the quarters, it's not translating to the bottom line, mainly because of higher interest in depreciation. So, what is your target on that?
Our target is to reduce working capital days by FY26 around 135 to 140 days, and we have the internal target to become debt free.
Oh, by when?
By FY27-28.
Debt free by FY27-28. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rati from Countercyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that you alluded to the fact that in between post-COVID, first the cotton prices shot up, yarn prices shot up, now they have again come down, the inflation also has come down. So now what is the problem? As far as I understand, cotton and yarn prices are at their long-term averages. Basically now, sir, has any significant new player entered this category? Is it that other players like organized retailers, they have started their own private labels, or some D2C brands have come, or is it that the existing players themselves are fighting among each other with more aggressively?
So I would say it is mostly the last part that you talked about. It's because of the higher intensity of competition that we are seeing. We didn't see any new players coming in or impact from the private label. But it is because of a few players in our industry which led to such kind of problem in the profitability. But yeah, things are getting stabilized now. It was in the past, like FY24, we saw a huge dent because of that. Plus also, when the prices started decreasing, we had to, like all the players, they decreased it to a level and was unable to take the last price hike that they had to take to maintain their profitability.
Sir, now among our various sales channel, like the multi-brand retail that we do through dealers, through our exclusive brand outlet, through e-commerce and through quick commerce. So amongst all of these, sir, what kind of receivables we have and what kind of margins do we have in each of these segments?
Sorry, what kind of?
So what are the receivables, let's say from our normal, the multi-brand dealer, what is our receivable and what is our margin? And from exclusive brand outlets, what is our receivable period and what is our margin? What is our margin and receivable from e-commerce players? What is it from the modern retail people? And what is it from quick commerce, like to be, etc.?
Overall, at a company level, if we talk about the realized sales figure, it's almost similar, around 50-52% kind of a realized sales that we see with respect to the MRP. And with respect to the margin level, the quick commerce and all the e-commerce platforms are at a similar level. And even in this domestic sales also, the margin levels that we keep are almost at a similar level. It's not that the e-commerce is more profitable and domestic is not that profitable, because if you are selling on e-commerce platforms also, you need to advertise digitally, you need to occupy the mind space of your consumer, the target market. Although you can target much more specifically when we talk about digital marketing, but they spend the ROI that we generate like after spending is much lower in digital marketing.
So basically what you are saying that our margins in general trade, modern trade, company, the exclusive brand outlet that we have,
It's almost at a similar level, yeah. In exclusive brand outlet, we are not making any money right now. But this exclusive brand outlet are being treated more as an experience center for our consumers, where the consumer can actually see what are the product ranges that the company makes. Because if you go to a mom and pop store, you might find a innerwear or you might find a athleisure. You might find the men's innerwear or women's innerwear, but you won't find the entire set of product range that the company is offering to the consumer. So it is just to change the consumer perception towards the company that we are operating our exclusive brand outlet. You can treat them as more of a experience center or a advertisement permanent holding that we have over there.
Right, so I understood that in our EBO the margins are low and for understandable reason. Sir, but among all other general trade, modern trade and online, the margins are by and large they are same. Is that...
By and large they are same. They are similar, at a similar level.
And sir, what about the receivables? What is the credit period for each of these?
So in modern trade, mostly the large format stores operate on sales or return basis. Whatever gets sold, they pay in the coming month by 15th. So that is the payment cycle they follow in the modern trade and whether it be the e-commerce platforms also. So whatever you sell in this particular month, next month by 15th they credit the amount to into your bank account. And in domestic, the sales through the distributors and through the traditional channel, as per the company norms, the payment cycle is around 60 days. But our receivable is on a higher side, which is somewhere around 110, 112 days.
And sir, what about online?
I told you about the online, that whatever we sell this particular month, next month it gets credited to our bank account.
Sir, so it's the same for modern retail, for online and for quick commerce. There is no difference.
Mostly same.
Okay. Now, sir, lastly, I wanted to understand that, sir, all these efforts that we have been making in Project Lakshya, etc., sir, so basically, have we been able to shrink our the difference between the average selling price between the market leader and dollar? And sir, how much was it like, let's say, a few years back, and how much is it now? And in your judgment, where do you want it to be? And sir, so what is, if let's say the market leader is selling at 100 rupees, at what price are we selling at?
So who do you consider the market leader?
Page industry, jockey.
Yeah, so again, like I said earlier also, he is not our direct competitor. He operates in a very different market segment. He deals into the premium segment where his ASP is 2.5 times than ours. But if you see volume wise, he is similar to what we sell at. So last year we sold around 24 crore pieces. That was the similar quantity that jockey also sold in the market. It's just because of the ASP that his revenue is being seen as 2.5 times than ours. So that gap can never be built. That difference will always be there because he operates in a very different market segment. But yeah, if you compare Force NXT ASP vis-a-vis jockey ASP, our Force NXT is doing an ASP of around 230 to 240 rupees. Which is close enough.
Right. So what? Let's keep jockey aside. What about Lux and what about Rupa? And what
so the gap is to the tune of 1-1.5% maximum. And going ahead, like within a 1.5 year, 2 years time period, we'll be able to cover that also.
So basically, as of now, we are selling at, let's say, 1.5% discount to Lux, and we hope to bridge that in the, let's say, coming few years.
Yes, yes. So because the reason is we were late entrant into the market as compared to Rupa or Lux, and they are present from 1952s or 55, and we came into picture in 1972. So there is a 20-year gap. During when we started, in order to penetrate deeper into the market, the price difference was somewhere around 10 to 12% in the beginning. But over time, we have been able to build the bridge, and now the difference stands only around 1-1.5%, which is very minuscule, which can be covered in some quarters to come.
So basically, we are selling at a discount to Lux also and Rupa also.
So Rupa and Lux are at a similar pricing level.
And sir, what about Dixie and Amul?
So Dixie's product are not very much comparable apple to apple. Plus, they have moved into more extra discounting, deep discounting kind of a model into the market and. I don't think that company is also growing from past couple of years. With respect to Amul is selling at a premium, so it would be somewhere around where Lux is only.
Okay, so as far as we are concerned, basically, okay sir, I understood that.
And sir, as far as the in general trade, what margin we give to our dealer? Sir, so how does that compare with Page Industries and also the other Rupa and Luxa? Are we giving the maximum margin?
No, not really. The margin levels for the distributor and the at a retail level also, it's quite similar. But yeah, it's there are some changes when we talk about Page Industries. The retail margin is very much restricted, I suppose, and even the distributor margin is quite similar to what we give.
So basically, our margin that we give is similar to Lux and Rupa, but it is higher than what Page gives. Is that understanding correct?
To the retailer.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask question may press star and one at this time. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for taking the time out to join the earnings call. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.